in 10, scripture written 700 years before Jesus was born, it was said, "He was assigned a grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he whisper in his hand." Jesus said these words, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." Father, we come before you this morning, and this personally. We ask, Lord, this morning that you would just send your spirit upon this place. God, may you touch our eyes that we might see with God. And you all may be seated, and good morning, and welcome, man. So, pretty cool to be with you this morning. So, some of you, my name's Frank Winans. I'm the senior pastor here at Jesus. And if that's your journey, welcome. By the way, so I like this, and we do this. There's a card that we put in all your worship folders, and it's called Your Spiritual Journey, a Personal Guide. And I think I've got a picture I can show it to you. This is really cool. If you ever just take time on your own spiritual journey to think about where you are and who you are and what you are and where you're on. All of us are somewhere along the journey to try to figure out who Jesus is. I was on a journey. I'm a self-proclaimed atheist that went all along this path, and I'm still on my journey trying to figure out Jesus. The purpose of this church is to help people meet Jesus and to know Jesus and to follow Jesus. And my hope today that as we all leave here, we might know a little bit more of who Christ is. Not interested. Curiously searching assertively. You know what? I think I might believe. Man, I'm experiencing changed life. I'm growing in my faith and just living with purpose. I mean, it's beautiful, man. You're on this journey somewhere. I'm on this journey somewhere. Where are you this Easter Sunday morning? Can I ask you that question? Where are you on this? Is it important for us to journey down this path? Can you think of any reasons why it's important for some time in our life to think this through? Can I give you one? Not reality yet? It's a biggie. So as a pastor, I have the privilege of being with people at some of the baptisms right after the service, being with people as they come to faith in the Lord, man. It's so glorious. But you know what? We as pastors also have the privilege of being with people at some of the darkest days of their life. Personally, in my life, I have 5 memorial services to go to in the next 3 weeks. It's been a tough couple weeks for me. You guys, Don Getz used to sit over here. Our brother Don passed away a couple Saturdays ago. His heart gave out. 58 years old. Praying for the Getz family. Love them. Just terrible. Ralph Autry was the guy that came to this church for years. I was youth pastor of his daughter in the city of Irvine. We had a 39-year-old lady, a wonderful lady in our department, who found out she had a briefing and just helping him walk through this. It's just shocking when somebody that you know dies. Have you ever had this happen to you? Man, and then in the midst of all that, man, I'm almost home a few weeks ago, and all of a sudden I got a call from dispatch. It's always bad. Whenever they call chaplain, it's never because people really love a chaplain and want to, hey, chap, and it was a sergeant, our town. Hey, pops, dad, pick up the phone. So Bill decides, man, I need to go over. Hey, dad, how come you didn't open the door? Walks up to see that. You race over there and you sit down and you just hug the family and you just process this stuff. Have you realized lately that you're mortal? Have you realized lately that life is fragility? Howard Becker, who many consider to be the most brilliant interpreter of Sigmund Freud, contends that the repression of death in the consciousness is a prerequisite to living a happy life. In his book, The Denial of Death, he argues that when the defense mechanisms we construct to ward off the awareness that we're moving toward death begin to break down, how long will life allow you to do that? See, you can run, people, but you just can't hide from this one. Welcome to Easter Sunday morning at Woodbridge Community Church. He's arisen. So many people have misunderstood Jesus' mission on life and our most public miracles. He was around thousands, tens of thousands of people, 5,000 men. The miracle of the fish and the loaves. You know, the first sign of the believers was the sign of the fish, not the sign of the cross. It was the fish. It says that they wanted to make him king by force. By force. Could you imagine? And I mean, all history waits. Jesus is to see. He speaks to the wind and the rain, and it's calling down fire from heaven on them. I mean, right? I mean, get on the water. And he sent away an army. Why? See, because his ultimate enemy wasn't with the emperor or with Rome in particular. Jesus was eyeing something bigger for humanity. See, people, our greatest enemy facing us today is not Russia or China or Democrats. And facing this is the most difficult task that we face in life. And this is why Jesus came. If you want to take notes with me this morning, here's a note. You can take this in. Just write this down and meditate on this. Write this down. Note number one, Jesus came to take away the power of death and to bring us life beyond the grave. Important to us? Is there anything bigger than this? Do you know how he does this? 700 years before Jesus was born, it was prophesied in the Old Testament book of Isaiah that the Messiah, or the promised one, would come and die on behalf of our sins and pay off our debts before a holy God. Now, here's Jesus, right? 700 years before, this is what the Old Testament says. He was pierced for our transgressions, Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. He was pierced. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You can take notes with me this morning. Eternally it separates us from him. It's called eternal death or spiritual death. To be separated from the author of life is the word called Good Friday. 700 years, it was prophesied, and Jesus fulfills this on Friday. Is it good for a judge to let a crime go unpunished? Answer? Is it good for a judge to let a crime go unpunished? See, we are guilty of moral crimes before a holy God every day. Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt honor thy father and mother. 3 out of 10, how do you do? How many people in here have never lied? Raise your hand. You liar. How many people in here have never stolen a thing? You're a lying thief, aren't you? You know, Jesus went up on a mountain and he began preaching a sermon on the mount. And he tells us that blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That you are poor, bankrupt. You realize that problem. And yet God deals with the problem through a Messiah, the prophesied one that would come and take our iniquities upon himself and pay our debts before a holy God. It's the prophecy. It's amazing. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him. I really like that verse. I like that. He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore in behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. See, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we could become the righteousness of God. And on Good Friday, Jesus does this. Did you know that Jesus, when he hung to the right and to the left, was two thieves on a cross? And with the rich in his death, did you know that when Jesus died, they stuck him in a rich man's tomb, Joseph of Arimathea? Though he had done no violence, Jesus would crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. How does a person die and yet their life is prolonged? Have you ever tried to figure this out? How does the prophecy say that this individual, he comes up out of the grave? He beats death. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the one that beats death. I bring life. And anyone who believes in me will live even if they die. What a statement. What a statement. See, the man who brought death to mankind is Adam. And the one who came to bring about the resurrection of the dead is the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Jesus came to deal with the consequences of spiritual death and separation from God once and for all. Hallelujah, right? Write this down. Take this one down. Here's another note. You ready? Note number 3. Jesus came to die for our sins and to bring us new life in him. It wasn't even the high priest. This is what he was gunning for. People totally misunderstand what Jesus' mission, what he was all about. See, and this is why the resurrection from the dead changes everything. People, him coming out of the grave is a game changer. How do we know that what he did on Good Friday really works in our lives? Because of what he does on Sunday. See, if he didn't come up out of the grave, this would all be meaningless. See, the Romans murdered thousands of people on crosses, but only one came up out of the grave. Do I hear an amen? This is the story. This is it. If he didn't come up out of the grave, it's empty. See, but resurrection brings new life. And this is what we're celebrating today, right? This is what brings hope. Take notes with me. Note number 4, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the proof that what he said is true and what he did on the cross is real. Okay, I want to read you something. So there is a guy named Saul of Tarsus, and he fought on behalf of Jesus, and then one day, dude, his life changed, and he did an about face. Sounds familiar. He says this later on as he writes to a church in Greece in 1 Corinthians 15:13-20. He says, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith that he raised Jesus or the Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised and your faith is futile and you're still in your sins, and then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost, or those that died, if Jesus didn't come up out of the grave, we're stupid. And we're betting on him. Of true, praise the Lord. And if it's not, we're deceived, and Paul's a liar for spreading it and a fool for dying for it. See, people, no event in human history has more writing on it than the resurrection into the present and the future, with the assurance that people who die in him will live again, and not just spiritually with God, but one day we'll be getting resurrected bodies, a brand new model. So when Jesus came up out of the grave, it's called a resurrected body. It's a brand new model. Do you guys want one of these? I mean, like, he was slaughtered on Friday, and on Sunday, he's looking good. He's eating. You could touch him, but he could pop in and out of buildings. He could fly into the clouds. Does anyone want one of these? I do. I mean, this is huge. Life. I've had people tell me, quote, Chaplain, you seem like an intelligent person. I cannot believe you believe in this stuff. Am I unintelligent for believing in this? Am I unintelligent from going from an atheist to an agnostic to a deist? From a guy named Flavius Josephus. He was a Jewish historian writing about the Jewish rebellion against Rome in 66 AD. He's not a believer in Jesus. And his writings are used by archaeologists today in Israel. It's like a map of where to dig next. For those of you that's ever been to Israel, you go to the Jerusalem Museum or anywhere along any his name is all over the place. And in his writings, he talks about John the Baptist. He talks about Jesus' half-brother James, the guy writing about 66 AD. At this time, there was a wise man who was called Jesus. And his conduct was good, and he was known to be a doer of surprising, wonderful works. And many people from among the Jews and other nations in his discipleship, they reported that he had appeared to them 3 days after his crucifixion, and that he was alive. The Arabic version of Antiquities of the Jews, 18.63-64. Not a believer, Jewish historian. Jesus, yeah, let me tell you about him. The Roman historian Tacitus and Suetonius, the Jewish rabbinical teachings of the Talmud that call Jesus a sorcerer and a deceiver, all record that Jesus was a real person who lived 2,000 years ago, a person who died on a cross in Jerusalem, was buried, and 3 days later his tomb was empty. People, this is not mythology, this is history. The eternal question is who emptied the grave? Did the disciples steal the body, or did God bring him up from the dead? The billion-dollar question. His tomb was empty in 3 days. How did it get there? Who paid off the Roman soldiers to say that Jesus' disciples came and beat him over the head and knocked him out and took Jesus' body and they've hidden it? Is that true? Why would they do that? Money? Money? That's what I thought. Dude, they stole his body, man. Did you know you can make a lot of money in religion? Have you looked around? Have you seen what's going on TV? Would you be willing to die for a lie? If you knew it was a lie, would you die for it? The problem with that is that all his disciples died horrible deaths. And they were all in one accord going to death. We saw him die, and 3 days later we saw him come out of the grave. They were crucified. I don't know about you, but if I knew that this thing was a big lie and we hid his body around the corner and someone's driving a nail through my wrist, I'd be going, never mind. It's all a joke. They died. There was nothing financially to gain for them to do this. It just falls apart, people. The Apostle Paul was rich and powerful, and he says he lost it all. He dies in Rome giving testimony to Jesus before Nero, before he gets his head cut off, proclaiming that Jesus came up out of the grave and he's the Christ. They all died for this. Why? Welcome to the journey of trying to figure out Jesus. Where are you on the journey? See, the testimony of Jesus from the historical writings, from archaeology to the lives and martyrdom of his followers, are all evidence of his existence. Next Sunday, we're doing a second part of a class on the historical evidence of the resurrection. Think, come and listen to it. It's good stuff. See, but here's my journey. Man, Chaplain, you seem like an intelligent person. I can't believe you believe in this. You want to know when the big one is for me? Prophecy. The greatest proof to me that Jesus is who he says he is and he died and it all really happened. People, there's never, ever been anyone like Jesus who's never walked on planet Earth. There's never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, ever, never, ever been anyone like Jesus who's ever walked on planet Earth. And you can't get around it. He's the prophesied one. You can't get around it. It was prophesied that he would be born of a virgin birth. Isaiah 7. 700 years later, Mary is a virgin birth. She gives birth. It was prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem, fulfilling prophecy. It was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 11 that he would be called a Nazarene. Jesus is raised in Nazareth. It was prophesied that the Messiah would begin his ministry on the Sea of Galilee. Isaiah 9. At the age of 30, Jesus goes down to the Sea of Galilee, begins his ministry. It was prophesied that the Messiah would be rejected by his people, that he would be scourged for others, that he would be pierced through for the transgressions of other people, that he will be silent before his accusers. His grave will be aside with wicked men, yet in a rich man, and he's completely innocent, and he will die for the iniquities of my people. And 700 years later, Jesus fulfills this. Can somebody please explain this to me? How does he do it? How does he do this? There's never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, ever, never been anyone like Jesus who's ever walked on planet Earth. His whole life was totally foretold, this is how it would be, and he's born and just fulfills it all perfectly. How do you explain this? I couldn't anymore. I couldn't anymore. Note number 6, take notes with me this morning. Jesus fulfilling prophecy in his birth, life, death, burial and resurrection is a convincing proof that he is who he says he is. People, there's no one like him. Welcome to the journey. Welcome to the journey. Where are you on the journey with Jesus? See, and this is not academic or philosophical, but somewhere along the journey, it's going to become really personal in your life. When I was 9, my mom died of pancreatic cancer. And I have images of going and visiting my mom in the hospital at Loma Linda University. See, I couldn't live in denial very long as a little boy, as Howard Becker says that I need to do. I couldn't live there as a little boy very long. And growing up all through high school and my senior year of high school, I had 3 of my friends die, good friends. And I almost died abusing alcohol. In my early 20s, I began my journey. Someone, my cousin Steve on the North Shore, gave me a Bible. No, actually, he's the one that took me to church. I was so bummed. I went to Hawaii hanging out with Steve, and he's such a cool dude. And on Sunday, he says, Frank, you want to go to church? I'm like, oh, shoot. He's a Christian. I felt, I'll go. First time I've ever been, ever as an adult, right? Early 20s. All these people are praising Jesus. I'm like, man, Steve, what do you believe? He shares Christ with me. And I'm like, I don't know. A guy named Dave gave me my first Bible. Dave said this to me. He says, Frank, you seem like an intelligent person. Well, thank you. He says, have you ever read Jesus? I said, no. He goes, well, if I gave you a Bible, would you read it? What am I supposed to say? No, then I'm not intelligent. He tricked me. Dave, Big Bear, construction crew. So he gives me a Bible, and I'm opening this thing up. I'm like, I started reading Jesus one summer. I'm in my early 20s, man, and I just want to figure out who he is. I read the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I finally figured out what you people believe. And then I'd ask the question, how do you know what you believe is true? People, I'm looking at the prophecies of Isaiah. I'm like, how in the heck? And I'm moving in my on this thing, I am moving, people. I'm moving. Crud, maybe. Oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. Shoot. This is awesome. Is it true? It is. It's the most intelligent faith on planet Earth. If there is a God and God has any form of intelligence, does intelligence evolve from nothing? Are you intelligent? According to Charles Darwin, intelligence evolves from nothing. Billions of years of time and chance. Is that true? Does life come from non-life? Does order come from chaos? Does intelligence come from non-life? If God is intelligent, wouldn't he communicate in an intelligent way? Is it true? See, this day changes everything. Do you want to know how powerful and how practical the resurrection of Jesus is? I was the first believer in my family. Frankie's found religion. Thanksgiving, right? I should tell the story. Chuck, God bless Chuck. He's my brother-in-law. Frankie, I heard you found religion. No, man, but I met Jesus. He got mad and threw beer all over me. My dad yelled down, "No religious talk." You know, my cousin Chuck now leads worship at his church. He's leading worship this morning in Phoenix, Arizona. My dad becomes a believer. My mom becomes a believer. My sisters are believers. My brother just finally, last held out, became a believer during COVID. It's become, this is just awesome. This is the Lord. I was sitting with my buddy Bill over here. Remember Chaplain Frank sitting with my buddy Bill? And there's his 88-year-old dad. We're waiting for the coroner to come, take away the body. So I have a 96-year-old father who I'm watching over. About 4 or 5 days after that, I'm sitting down with my dad. "Hey, Dad, let me tell you about this. I told you about my buddy Bill." I said, "His dad just put his glasses down and took a nap, and he woke up in eternity." And my dad says, "Frankie, that's how I want to go." I said, "Dad, that's how I want to go too. Sounds good to me." For the next 10,000 years, you keep pinching yourself saying, "Am I in a dream? This is amazing." You know what Jesus told the thief on the cross? "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Does paradise sound like a good deal? Does that sound like hope beyond the grave? And I began talking with my dad. I said, "You know, Dad, if this was to happen to you today," my dad's 96. "If this was to happen to you today, I am so grateful that we have no regrets between us. You know that I love you, and I know that you love me. Dad, I know that you believe that Jesus hung on a cross for your sins, and he's taken all your sins away from you, and he's preparing a place for you in heaven. And because Jesus comes up out of the grave, we have life beyond the grave. Dad, I know you know this." He goes, "I believe this." I said, "Amen, Dad." And you know what we began talking about? How cool it's going to be to go there one day. We began talking about my mom, Jean Winans, who died when I was 9. We began talking about my stepmom, Joyce, and how it will be so. And my dad says, "Oh, it'll be neat. I can't wait to see my mom again." And we began talking about this with total peace. Do you know why? Because of Jesus. Howard Becker's wrong. My dad and I were talking very openly about this and talking about hope beyond the grave. All because of Christ. And this day, practically speaking, hey people, I'm going to 5 memorial services in the next 3 weeks. Guess who I'm taking with me to these 5 memorial services? You want to guess? Jesus. Okay? I'm taking him with me. And you know what? He changes every memorial service. Makes it, they're called celebration of life services for those of us. You know, the Bible just says we fall asleep. There's nothing. When you fall asleep, you wake up again. And the New Testament says they fell asleep. They fell asleep. What do you mean they died? Well, they fell. It's not permanent according to God through Messiah. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He will live even though he dies if you believe in me." And then he says, do you believe this? I'm sitting there talking to my dad about this, and it was so glorious. 1 Corinthians 15:55 through 57 says this. "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Anyone ever been stung by a bee? Or a scorpion? I've been stung by both. They hurt. "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God," "but thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Victory over what, people? Death. Death. See, this is what I'm taking. I'm taking hope. Am I unintelligent for believing this? You seem like an intelligent person. Why? How can you not believe this? Do you know how important it is that you somewhere along your life journey figure this out? Have you read the statistics on death? They do not bode well for you. You can run from this, but you can't hide. If you enter into eternity without Jesus, you're a fool. And I say that lovingly. Please don't let that happen to you. If I'm stupid, you come up and tell me. And then you explain to me that atheism is the way to go. Could you imagine if I was sitting there with my dad? Hey, Dad, this is what happened. Huh. Well, Dad, you know that you've evolved over billions of years of time and chance. So you know what happens? Dad, someday you die, you're just going to cease to exist. Yay? Is that true? I got great news for you this morning. He's arisen. He's arisen. He has arisen. The stained glass window says he is not here. He's arisen. And this means everything to you. And you might be going, well, I don't care about this right now. I know. I was probably a little young processing this, but the sting of death was all over my life in my early 20s. In my teens. I came to this probably at an early age. I began searching at an early... Maybe people do this when they're 70 or 60 or once they find out that they have cancer and then they be... I don't know. What you need to do is just ignore this, because if you don't ignore this, then you're going to be depressed and you're going to have no hope. So the social construct is just to ignore your own mortality. How long will life let you do that for, people? I want to introduce you to Jesus this morning. You need to figure him out. He's really amazing. See, the most important thing that we can do in this world is to prepare ourselves for eternity. And this is why Jesus came. And this is why we need him. And with his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, we have victory over our greatest enemy, death. Do you understand? Where are you on the journey? I'm not interested. Someday you might be. I'm curiously searching. Man, I'm actually searching hardcore. You know what? I believe. I'm experiencing new life. I'm growing. I'm living with purpose. Where are you? Where are you? Welcome to Easter this morning. I pray that somehow some of this sinks in. I hope maybe you're at least going to ponder this. Because this is really important. It's very practical. Easter is very practical to you. Because there are some really bad days that are coming in your future. And Jesus came to fight for those days and to bring you life beyond the grave. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though they die. Do you believe this? Do you? Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning for my brothers and sisters in this room. And Lord God, I pray for those that are going to get baptized just a little bit. Lord, for all those that are getting ready to get baptized, God bless them. Because, Lord, the service doesn't end here, Lord. There are many people here that want to go and be baptized this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God, for the importance of this day. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us all on the journey. Lord, I pray that the peace that Jesus brings would rule and reign in our hearts, even in the darkest days of our lives. We could sit and just say, because of Him, because of Him, we can tackle the hardest topics because of Jesus. Lord, help us to hear the songs of heaven. Help us to recognize the prophesied one and what He's been called to do and how He did it. It's amazing. Bless this place now, we pray in the name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say what? Amen. Stand with us as we sing this beautiful song, the Easter song.